I'm going to speak to you about one word. This word is the reason why my mother wrapped me in a blanket and as an infant brought me to church. This one word is the reason why I have stayed in church. I have thought about this word and its concept thousands of times. This one word is the reason that I do what I do, I say what I say, and I go where I go. And this morning, if I can help you to get a handle on this word, it will change your life as well. Now, the concept of it is found from Genesis to Revelation. The concept is all over the Bible. But the word itself, in the Old King James Version, appears only one time. In Isaiah chapter 57 and in verse 15, in talking about God, the Bible says, "The high and lofty one who inherits eternity." Our subject this morning is eternity. Where do you start with this concept? Where do you start that we can have some kind of understanding about eternity? You see, this morning, what I'm talking to you about total timelessness. There was a very famous preacher in the last generation named Jimmy Allen, and he used two illustrations to try to describe eternity. Brother Jimmy Allen said that if you took a rock that was the size of this earth, imagine such a thing, and that if you hung this rock out into space, and if every 1,000 years an eagle were to fly by that rock and just gently brush its wing against that rock, that in the time it would take that eagle to wear that rock into nothing, that would still not be eternity. Brother Allen said that if you took a steel ball, again, the size of this earth, and if you placed an ant on that steel ball, and that ant began to walk, and it kept walking, and it kept walking, and it kept walking, that in the time it would take that ant to wear that steel ball the size of the earth into half, that would still not be eternity. Eternity. Whether you understand this or not, our greatest need is to understand that eternity is something that all of us are going to have to deal with. Eternity, this total timelessness, this is something that all of us are going to have to face someday. and maybe more than anything else in the world, eternity puts life in its proper perspective. Eternity puts all of life in focus. And when we look at eternity, and then when we look at our lives here, the picture becomes clear that eternity puts all of this in perspective. Now, let's see if we can dish this out. Three observations. Number one, it is eternity that puts priorities into perspective. I believe that down deep, most people do not believe in eternity. I believe down deep, most people don't really believe in a heaven that is wonderful and forever, and in a hell that's horrible and forever. I believe that down deep, that most people will live their entire lives, and that we live our entire lives honestly believing that this world is all there is. You say, well, how do you believe those things? Listen, here's how I believe those things. Look at us. We spend the vast majority of our lives, we spend the vast majority of our time in pursuit of things that are only temporal. We have allowed ourselves to become so consumed by the here and now, folks, we have forgotten what lies ahead. And what lies ahead is that someday all of this is going to pass away. Everything that we've give our lives, everything that we've give our time, listen, all of this will one day pass away. And when all of this passes away, the only thing that's gonna be left is eternity. But we're just wrapped up in the here and now. We're seeing nothing else but just this. I spent the first 16 years of my life born and raised on the Lower East Side, St. Jean and Jefferson area. And we had a neighbor, actually he lived three doors from us. I knew the family well because I played ball with two of his sons. This man lived his entire adult life dreaming about his retirement. And he had it all planned out. I'm going to retire, and then when I retire, we're going to buy a mobile home, and then me and my wife are going to get in this mobile home, and we're going to travel, and we're going to sightsee, and we're going to enjoy life. You say, well, what's wrong with retirement? Absolutely nothing. Is it wrong to have a mobile home? No, sir, no, ma'am. Well, what's wrong with sightseeing and traveling? Absolutely nothing at all, unless that's all you're seeing. Here's what's wrong with it. 3 months before he was to retire, he suffered a stroke. And it messed him up physically all over his body. And it messed up his mind and his thinking. And he basically just lay in bed. When it came time for that man to retire, the company that he had worked for all of those years presented his gold watch to his wife. His wife brought that watch home and set it down next to the dresser where her husband's bed was, and that watch sat there until he died. He lived for here and now. He lived for retirement. And now he's gone. And there is no retirement. And there is no mobile home. And there is no traveling. There is no, all of these things. None of these things were happening. And what happened to him, bless God, what happened to him happens to a lot of us. We get so caught up in this world that we forget about eternity. So we climb the ladder of success, and we climb the ladder of a career, and we climb the ladder of wealth, and we climb the ladder of recognition. And it's only when we get to the top of that ladder that we realize we got the ladder leaning against the wrong wall. Because all of those things that I mentioned, they mean nothing now. They mean nothing. Here's what we're like. It's like going to a hotel room and checking in to stay one night. One night. And you get into that hotel room and you spend a ton of your own money redecorating it and revitalizing it and bringing that room up to what you want. And you act like, look, we act like we're going to, this hotel room will be our permanent residence. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way we do with life. We get everything we have so invested in right here and right now, and bless God, we're all old enough to understand that none of us are going to be here long. In Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 26, Jesus said, "What would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" One day, we're going to leave this world, and 1 second after we are gone, the only thing that's going to matter is eternity. In Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 16 and following, Jesus tells the parable about the rich farmer. He was very successful. He had everything. What do you buy a man that has everything? Something to put it in. So the farmer says, "I'm gonna tear down my barn. And I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to store everything in these barns." And the farmer starts talking to himself. When you have a conversation with yourself, you can come up with some crazy ideas. Amen. And he starts saying to himself, "Look, I'm all set here." And he says to himself, "Now I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry because I have much goods and many years to live." And in verse 20 of Luke 12, Jesus said to him, "You fool. This night your soul is required of thee, and all of these things that you have, whose shall they be?" If we live this life, hear this statement. If we live this life without recognizing the limitations of this life, the Bible says you are a fool. Listen, eternity puts priorities into perspective. When I understand and can view eternity, then I'm able to look at my life and say, well, this is important and that's important, but this is not so much important and that's not important at all. Listen, eternity will bring focus to your priorities. Number two, think about this and hear me out. Eternity not only brings perspective to your priorities, but eternity will put your troubles in perspective. Eternity puts the sorrow and the troubles of this world into perspective. Now let's talk plain. It is hard to deal with cancer. Don't worry about that. When I was a child, every week, just with that sound. But they're carrying him out by his waist. My mother carried me out by my feet. Amen. And that was her brother right there. If I knew what I was talking about, I'd go right back to it right now. I got a friend who's old. By anybody's calendar, this guy's old. And I said, "Listen, what do you think about being old?" And he looked at me real weird. He said, "Well, concerning the alternative, I like it pretty well." I just got it back. I just got it. Eternity puts our troubles in perspective. Listen to me. It's hard to deal with cancer. It's hard to deal with the loss of a loved one. It's hard to deal with the sorrows and the troubles in this world. But listen to me. It's hard to deal with all of these things until you gauge all of these things against eternity. You understand? In light of eternity, cancer is a temporary setback. In light of eternity, the loss of a loved one is a blip on the screen. In light of eternity, the problems and the sorrows that we suffer are just a minor inconvenience. Now, there are folks who are sitting here who are going through a time in your life There's trouble at home, or there's trouble on the job. There's difficulty. There's family members who are sick, or maybe you are sick. Listen, I'm not downplaying any of that. But I'm simply saying, when we are able to take our heads out of time and put our heads into eternity, that everything in this old world looks completely different. In Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27, the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The latest statistics are in. One out of every one dies. Every one of us have been penciled in to God's appointment with death. Now, there are our appointments we have that we can just ignore, blow them off, and it's not a big deal. There are other appointments in life that we have where we can send somebody else and that will suffice. But your appointment with God, you're going to keep. You're not going to blow that off. And you're not going to send somebody else in your place. So people look at death and they come up with all kinds of definitions. Here, I'm going to give you my definition. To me, death is simply us leaving one room and going into the next room. That's it. When we die, we leave this room, the door of eternity is open, and we step into that room. Now, if you're a Christian, the next room is where you want to be. Because there's no sorrow and no tears and no suffering and no anxiety. But if you're not a Christian, the next room is not where you want to be. I'm trying this morning the best I can. I'm trying to get you to understand and to see how eternity brings everything else into focus. Eternity brings my priorities and my life into focus. This is what it's about. It's not about that, Fox. Eternity puts all of life where it needs to be. Eternity puts my problems and my sorrows into focus. Listen, Paul said in Romans 8 and in verse 18, he said, "For I reckon that the problems of this world are not worthy of the glory that we will receive on the other side." So eternity puts priorities into perspective. I see now what's important. Eternity puts troubles into perspective. Yeah, I'm going through it, and yeah, this is difficult, but bless God, this will end one day. Amen. The third observation. And that is, eternity puts faithfulness into perspective. His name was Nero. Nero was the fifth emperor in the ancient Roman Empire. Nero reigned from the years AD 54 through the year 68. Nero, the emperor of Rome, was a disgusting, despicable human being. Nero was responsible for the murder of his own mother. Nero was responsible for the martyrdom of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. It was Nero who had both of those apostles executed. But Nero, all of his life, when he died, he wanted to leave behind a legacy. That when he was gone, there would be something that the world could remember him by. So 10 years into his reign, in July of the year 64, the great fire of Rome broke out. The fire began in the slums of the city, but the fire then got out of control. And before the fire was put out, one half of the imperial city of Rome had been burned to the ground, and some of the greatest structures in the city were destroyed in the fire. When the fire was over, the people began pointing the finger at Nero. He did this. His plan was to burn out the slums of the city and then rebuild it, and that rebuilding would be his legacy. The emperor did this. So Nero needed a scapegoat. And the Christians became his scapegoat. And when the most powerful man in the world stands and says, "They did this," the fury began. Listen to me. If you were a Christian in the latter part of the first century, your property was confiscated from you. You owned nothing. It was impossible for you to get a job. If you were a Christian in the latter part of the first century, your family and your friends were killed. If you lived at that time, you woke up every morning thinking to yourself, "Is this the day where they're going to come and take me?" They suffered in a manner that those of us in the 21st century could never, ever understand. But here is what's fascinating. In spite of all that they went to, they remained faithful to Christ. They refused to renounce Jesus. They refused to turn their back on Christianity. And you say, well, how do you explain to people who can go through all of that and remain faithful? My explanation to it is this. Those first century Christians never lost sight of eternity. If you become aware of eternity, you will never have another problem with unfaithfulness. I want you to imagine with me a hospital room. And in this hospital room, there is a family that's gathered around the bedside. And on that bed, there is a husband and a father. He's breathing his last breaths. This husband, this father has lived a long life. This father has made money. This father has had dreams and plans. But now, none of those things matter. None of them. So the doctor tells the family, "There's nothing else we can do." And from the bed, the father, the husband begins to whisper, Just 5 more minutes. Give me 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes. But there were no 5 more minutes. Time had run out. And when time ends, eternity begins. Now here's the reality of it. The reality of it is that the story I just told is a story that every one of us will live through. Every one of us. You don't need to hear another sermon. You don't need more time. What you need is to make a decision. To make a decision about God in your life. To make a decision about salvation in your life. To make a decision about which side of eternity you're going to live on. It's important here that you make the right decision, because eternity is too long to make the wrong decision. And whether you realize it or not, you're about to make that decision. Everybody in here is going to make that decision. You say, well, I've decided that I'm not going to make a decision. If you decide not to make a decision, bless God, that is your decision. Eternity. Total timelessness. When I get my head around that, it puts everything else in my life where it ought to be. I know now what's important. I know now that whatever trials and suffering I go through are temporary. Amen. And I know that faithfulness to God will lead the way. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This morning, if you're a Christian and you've drifted away from God, and if you've allowed your life to become consumed with the here and now, I beg you to understand eternity. And I beg you to make this decision in view of vast eternity. If you need to come, do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.